listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back in person podcast recording like it's 2019. Opposite of me. Can we go by age or by beauty? It's going to be Simon anyway.
I'm screwed either way.
I have Simon here from beautiful England, or as he calls it, what did you call it?
I call it the Plague Island.
Plague Island. Yes. Simon, how are you doing today?
Oh, well, I'm still alive and all my tests have been negative. So, hey, that's as good as it gets.
It's so great to see you guys. And we have the sugar daddy, the Canuck. It's Patrick.
Hey, what's up?
I have this really bad leg, so it sounds like I'm, you know, at boxing, I'm saying, are you ready to rumble?
All right.
Okay, this is DMTF 51. Yes. We're getting closer to number 100. It's going to be...
Maybe rough, in 5 years.
It's going to be halfway there, like Christmas. Get your Christmas gifts.
Let's hope we don't have another pandemic to sort of get in the way of that run.
So last time we recorded live in person was April 2019, I think.
With you guys?
Yes, in Mitte at my friend's, not Airbnb, but the apartment after the half marathon.
Yeah, and I think I did one recording after the last home game with fans.
Okay.
Oh, I was talking to Klaus, who's been on the podcast before, and he goes, how long has it been since we've seen a home win? And it's longer than that.
Okay.
It was December. No, it was December 19 was the last home win.
Okay.
Under, I think it was under Čović.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because everything else was this 5-0 blowout against Cologne.
Mm-hmm.
They lost, and then we had all these ties against Düsseldorf and... the last match was Bremen, right? The 2-2 or something like that? Or 1-1?
The
beautiful sun, remember?
I think I was there as well, because I think they were, Hertha was up 2-0, and Bremen tied it up they scored twice in 5 minutes, I think. Was it that game?
Sounds
and
like Hertha to me.
it does.
And I think, I've mentioned it before, I think that time I thought you were going to lose it, Simon, because you seemed so mad. I've never seen him this mad before, and you were like, you weren't moving at all. I could see the veins bulging.
Simon?
Yes.
Was mad?
Yeah.
Never seen him mad.
Yeah. Not joking.
Okay. I'll just move on. Okay. Apart from the joy of seeing your face and not having this lag and all this issues, we have the very rare occasion we can talk about two wins after three consecutive losses by our beloved Hertha. Hertha won away match day 4 after the international break in Bochum in front of, I said that before, 14,000 players and lots of our friends who went there. Because, I don't know, somehow seems like a way tickets are being sold now, because at the beginning it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last match against Fürth, after 90 minutes, I said, oh, there's away fans. I haven't seen them. I haven't heard them. Yeah. 14,000 referee was some guy called Schröder. We have all these. You have to have a German name to become a German referee. Referees for Hertha so far. Hartmann, Julian Beck, Jablonski. Schröder,
Jablonski. That doesn't sound terribly German.
It used to be Germany at some point.
German territory.
Okay, yes. Bochum and Fürth both being newbies in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bochum won the league and Fürth were second or third. I have no clue. Second, because the third didn't make it.
Okay.
I think Bochum were the champions, but they lost one of their best players in Jules. He went somewhere to Italy. Okay, Sunday. They have all these new match hours, and it was 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday. Is that normal?
No, it's not. Because it was the day I was flying here, and it was 11:30 my time, and that never happens on a Sunday. So, you know, and I missed the game because I had other things to worry about. But yeah.
$300
oh, yeah, COVID test. Yeah. Yeah, I took $300.
Remind us, how did that go, Patrick? The had taken your test and how stunningly worthwhile it was.
Oh, yeah. at the airport, I had to take, I wanted to be sure that I wouldn't be turned back for any technicality. So I took the 24-hour PCR test, and it cost $300 Canadian, so about 150 euros. And so either in Montreal or Paris or Berlin, they didn't ask me to show that test once, and they didn't even mention it. So I was like, hey, do you want to see my test? You know, please, I paid for this. Nope, nothing.
But they looked for your vaccination record.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's something. They asked for it in Montreal and Paris, but I walked right into BER. No one was there. Like, no problem.
When I arrived, it was empty. Yeah. And nobody looked at my paperwork. Wow. They took my passport, and these days we get a stamp, but other than that, sailed straight through. Absolutely zilch.
You got a stamp?
Yeah.
That's actually
never used
the only
to.
Cool thing about Brexit, Simon now gets stamps.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I got my stamp in Paris, I guess.
If I was honest.
I got a stamp too in Paris, but yeah.
Hmm.
I ordered something from the UK, just a very tiny animal pin I gave to a friend. And it didn't. Usually they just drop off stuff with me, or we have all these old neighbors and they drop the stuff up there. Then I got this card in the mail that said, you have to come to this and that station. And I went there and I had to pay €1.78 in taxes.
Wow.
Well, looking in England, because I sort of make all sorts of weird and wonderful things, but I in the past have ordered deer rawhide. In from Poland. You can use it to make sort of medieval lanterns and stuff like that. I won't bore you with the details, but I spent about like £30 on basically a deer skin rawhide, like a whole skin. And I looked at it, sort of post-Brexit, sort of properly. Well, it's not even properly kicked in now, but if you try and do the same thing now and buy it off eBay or something, The actual skin is basically the same price that it used to be, but the delivery is sort of like £150 or something.
Holy
it's
shit.
Insane. You know, it's just like out the window mad.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, Brexit. Yeah.
I think now people start to realize more and more how shitty an idea it was.
Who could have known?
Yeah. If only somebody had told them.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
How's Nigel Farage?
Amazing.
Still alive, I'm afraid.
He's working in a pig farm somewhere, I think.
Okay. Brexit brings about changes, and Dade made some changes to the starting lineups.
Nice segue.
Yeah, very good. Awesome. Yeah.
They call me the Segway King. Segway King. Sorry, Segway are the cars. Oh, can we start over? No. Okay.
Like we did.
It was going so well up until that point as well. We're almost only professional.
Okay, Dade switched from a back four to a back five, or three. We had Tornariga on the left, Stark and Boyata, Schwolo on goal, and the outside defenders were Jaschemski and Klünter. Defense, you had Tuzar and Darida, and Richter, Serda, and Belfodil in front. I think we discussed all the new players, did we?
Mm-hmm. Last time? With the anagrams.
Yes.
Did you say Bobic raus?
No, you did.
Okay, first thing to happen was an injury to Klünter. He fell down directly on his shoulder, lay down, didn't move anymore, has already been had surgery, might be out for some time.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Shoulders are really bad. He goes to really lots of bones and
ligaments.
Yeah. I mean, I had an injury. I fell. Somebody pushed me on the floor and I fell on the shoulder. And I had the easiest one. It's called a Tossi injury, and it's Tossi 1-2-3.
Okay.
It's a nice name. Tossi. No, it's Tossi because of the scientist or Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like Morbus Schlatter or stuff.
Not because it was a tosser who pushed you.
Dr. Tossy.
And I had the first one was just a bit. And if two or three have to get you have to get surgery, and I didn't, but I had to do physical therapy for, I don't know, 18 months.
Jesus.
And it's still, when I throw a football, it still makes a little noise. Which is why I couldn't focus on my NFL career. And baseball was off the table also. Okay, in came our Dutch, one of the only Dutch players we still have after the big exodus of Dutch players from the team on loan.
Yes.
Redan and Dilrosun, yes, are both gone. Okay, in came Zeefuik. And then Serda just thought, oh, why not? I'll just maybe score a goal. He went all the way after a pass from Darida. We looked at the highlights before recording this, and Simon just said, what did you say, Simon?
I don't know how the hell he managed to do that. What the heck the defenders were doing? They were nowhere near him. He just sort of, you know, was walking the bar, wasn't it? Yeah. It's crazy.
Walked right in, yeah.
Yeah, and then it became even worse for Bochum, because in the 43rd minute, what do you say, Simon? They did something quite Hertha-like at Bochum.
Yes, yeah, the defending or lack thereof.
I think one of the central backs didn't really hit the ball, and then was bump, 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 and then all of a sudden just Serda came in and just, you know, without any humor, just poof, put it in there. Hertha 2 up at halftime. Haven't had that in quite a long time.
No,
that's true.
Yeah. Because usually Dade teams don't score in the first half. The first half is always don't concede, yes, and don't see what happens
in the first half.
Yeah, but then Torreira was injured as well, and Mittelstädt came on for the second half, and Jastrzemski, I think he wasn't very effective. I mean, he was very effective in the second half of the third game,
mm-hmm,
but in that game, I didn't see him much. Also, he was in the outside defender. It's not really his... I wouldn't call him an outside defender, but after Net's departure and Plattenhardt still having only one leg and Mittelstädt... Yeah, and then Mittelstädt came. No.
He has had woodworm treatment for...
And then Linus Gechter came, and I think that was his first match, right?
Possibly.
He's 17 years old.
You're not expecting facts, are you?
I was, sorry.
Yeah. Putting us on the spot here.
Okay, but in the second half, I think, you know, sometimes the other team just comes out of the gates much better, and that was certainly the case in the Bochum game. Dade said something very peculiar after the match. Said, yeah. We wanted to them to have that many shots on goal. We always figured that they would flood this one part of the field, and we would just let them do it, and then we would have one defender more in the box, and they could just clear it away, which I think is pretty...
Oh, that's optimistic.
It is, yeah.
Jesus.
That's so very positive thinking.
And then he was either lying or it's just stupid.
It's like we're going to let them shoot so much that their legs will get tired, and then we will counterattack, you know?
It sounds like something you would say after a game when it didn't really go to plan at all. And yes. That's your cover story.
It's my turn to make a quick tangent. There is this Canadian comedian who died this week, Norm MacDonald. He did the Weekend Update for Saturday Night Live for several years.
Oh, and, about the murder?
He was super... I think it was cancer. He had that cancer. I don't even know which one, for like 9 years, and right, nobody knew. And... he also did this movie called Dirty Work, which is really underrated. And at some point, God, I forgot the exact details, but like he said, well, I mean, we probably will be able, more noise, please. We will probably be able to outrun these guys because they are probably so tired from beating us mercilessly. That was pretty awesome. So yeah, RIP Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. Perhaps Dada is a massive fan of that film.
Maybe.
It could be.
Possible.
Did you see the moth joke he did?
I'm sorry?
The moth joke he did?
That rings a bell, but I
just went to YouTube and hit Norm MacDonald, and there was there was this one about there were a couple of ones where he was on Conan. Mm-hmm. And one was there was this this actress from Melrose Place.
Oh yeah, Courtney Thorne Smith.
Exactly.
Yes.
And she said, "Yeah, I'm in a new movie." And the movie was
Chairman of the Board. I saw that live, that show, that Conan live.
She talks about, you know, she's on the show promoting her new movie, Chairman of the Board. And Norm Macdonald goes, "Ah, okay, that's B-O-R-E-D right there."
Yeah, and Conan just lost it. Yeah, he was. I don't think anyone expected that. Yeah, Conan lost his shit. It was pretty awesome.
And then he went and did the moth joke. It's like a 10-minute joke.
Okay.
And he talks for 10 minutes, but it's only the joke is just very, very silly and more like an anti-joke.
Okay.
About the moth. The moth comes to a doctor and talks. She comes to a podologist and talks and talks and talks. And he said, "Oh, I'm not sure if you're right. You need to see a psychotherapist. Why did you come in here?" "Oh, the light was on." And also very good, there was, you know, in the 90s when they did all these roasts, mm-hmm. Comedy Central, yeah. And he went to the roast of Bob Saget, but he really liked him. There's a really good episode that Marc Maron just re-released on the WTF podcast.
Yes.
And he said that he liked him so much, he didn't want to say anything mean about him. And then he went and took all these 1950s jokes people would say at roasts, and then he goes... And he reads them, and it's so like he's not funny. And some people are like, "What the fuck?" And some are just really, really losing it. He's really, really funny. He was really, really funny.
Nice.
Okay. Yep. Nice little. How did we get to Norm Macdonald? Oh, the beating. Yeah.
Yes. Tired from beating us mercilessly.
Yeah. Speaking of beating, then Zifek and Boyata got beat on the wing.
Oh, nice segue. Jesus, we have the segue king here. Ooh. Today.
And I only had 3 coffees so far. And then
twitching yet? Are you twitching yet?
No.
Okay.
Not even at normal.
Okay.
Yeah. So goal against Hertha, and then something I rarely ever see. Hertha put the game away, which mm-hmm. I haven't seen in forever. I think Hertha was really, they were just defending, and then Maulida came on in the 57th minute for Richter. And I think it was just they won the ball, and then Darida just kicked it long, and then Maulida got it, and he ran across half of the court, and there were some players next to him who might or might not have been charged with defending him, and then he just put it in there, and Simon...
They decided not to on the day.
Wasn't pretty, but...
Did the job.
3 points is 3 points, right?
Good enough, yeah.
Right. Very, very absolutely. Important 3 points at the time.
We're not in a position to complain about style anyway.
Not really. No.
I mean, it could have gotten really, really dicey if Hertha had not won these past 2 matches.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Bild, yeah. Or somebody said that?
I think we said that in the last podcast, wasn't it? I mean, how things will turn out depends a little bit what happens in these next 2 matches.
Yes.
As it turned out, they've been okay for us.
Yeah.
If we had lost them, we'd have been right in the poo.
On Thursday, there was a press conference, and Bobic was asked if there was contact between him and Edin Terzic.
Okay.
He was the interim coach at Dortmund, and they now gave him a new position just for him, a technical director thing. Because they put him in because they got rid of Favre after all these years of not really liking him too much. And then they had Terzic, and then they were already had scored the new coach, Rose.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that Terzic did too well, and they won the cup and everything. And then,
yeah.
And then they had to do something, and it's okay, he's just going to be technical director. I think he's just going to park him there just in case Rose fucks up. But right now it looks pretty good for them. I mean, they have Haaland. How can you ever... Things can't get better if you have Haaland.
Haaland and Bellingham together, they are doing really well.
But I also have to say, coming back to the our opponents, that mm-hmm. it's great to have Bochum back in the Bundesliga. After, was it 11 years or something like that?
Sounds about right.
Because Hertha Social sometimes show old matches.
Okay.
Before, just highlights. And I think it was...
Oh. Well, I mean... Probably was 2000. I mean, I remember going to see...
2002?
No.
It was Rafael?
We went to a game in 2009 against Bochum, and we won.
The second.
I did in 2009 in this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Rafael.
Ronnie? No.
No, the Colombian. Ramos.
Ramos, yes.
Ramos and some white guys scored the goals.
Okay. And it was a 2-0 win, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. They never show the goals of the opponent.
I mean, I was there, but I don't remember them scoring, so, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. So to sum it up, I don't know if this is a word in English, but in German you say it's a Pharaoh's victory, because Pharaoh was a Greek general and he won a battle, but had so many losses that
Pyrrhic. Pyrrhic victory.
Pyrrhic.
Yes. Yeah. Fools in German. We have superior pronunciation. you won the match against the new team, but you have an outside defender and a central back both injured. It's not good. And it's muscle, shoulder. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Boateng came on the 73rd minute and he brought the game home, because I think if he's there and he has time, so it's only 15 minutes, he can't do much wrong, so that he can go all the way. And there's no way they're going to score much. But it could have been close, but 3-1. I haven't seen the entire game. I decided to go to the restaurant with my family. And then they were up 2-0 and we walked home. And there's a beer, a Kneipe close to us. It's called Erdal's Beer Bar. And we walked past it. I looked inside.
What do they sell?
Huh?
What do they sell?
Beer.
Oh, okay.
And schnapps. No Mai Tais, son.
No Mai Tais. No zombies.
You know why Mai Tais are so dangerous, though?
Why is that?
Because everybody orders and thinks, oh, it's easy, easy peasy. But you float Captain Morgan on top.
Okay.
So it's the last few zips that kill you.
Huh. Well, the ones that I had, in both cases, the Mai Tai and the zombie, they had a lime that they cut in half and then inverted, so the skin was on the inside of the cup, and they had that floating on the surface of it. They filled it up with 73 rum and then torched it.
Yeah, that's Captain Morgan.
Yeah.
Oh, horrible, horrible, horrible.
But you blow it out in case you don't want to waste the alcohol, and then you push it down to the bottom with your straw so it all mixes in.
I didn't even know they had the 73% rum.
Well, that's what they told us anyway.
I mean, back home it's always 40 or around 40.
Oh, you can get. I mean,
yeah, it's because things are so nice.
with navy rum, there's sort of Woods navy rum, and that's 57%.
Okay.
By volume.
I just know Strohrum, which we always had. I went to boarding school for a year, and all they had was Strohrum. It's really like 60% or 70%.
Okay.
It must be really horrible. I never tried it. Everything over 40 is...
It can be dicey. It can be
risky. Bringing some Slivovich back from Poland, and that was some stupid percentage. You know, I'm surprised it didn't melt the table. It might taste of something, but it was so strong that, you know, all you could pick up was this sort of massive burn from the amount of alcohol.
Well, I mean, on Kantstrasse, you have this Spanish store, Aquí España, and they have absinthe at 80%.
Oh.
I usually bring some, but now not this time. So, yeah.
The bar downstairs, Mr. Who. Mm-hmm. I had absinthe there in 1999. I lost my watch. Really bad night.
That was a really expensive.
it was a Fossil, $70, but still.
Jesus.
Never. Absinthe. Dangerous. 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 So.
Anyway, back on track.
Yes. We were talking about the Pyrrhic victory, probably. Okay, off we go. Dada is stuck with the formation, roughly. I mean, at least in the back. Isla Schwolo on goal. The one-legged pirate made his comeback on the left side. Then, luckily, we had Mark Maton Dada return, Niklas Stark and Boyata and Seefeld. I think he earned his spot to be the starter. Oh, of course, Klünter was injured, so they only had Pekarik, and Pekarik didn't look really good so far in the first matches. I think in the first or second, he was being run over. Oh, no, overrun all the time.
Maybe he got run over.
This ride on lawnmower going up and down the pitch, running over Beckering.
Or maybe he got run over on the way to the stadium and he was all fucked up, so he couldn't play well.
Yes, yes. Well, it's hard to play with a broken arm and a broken leg, isn't it? It's a...
Boateng?
Sorry, Jan.
Sorry. No, I'm tired. Boateng and Serdar. Maolida somehow must have earned a spot, and then we had Belfort here starting. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that
you mean a half solid bike. That was my favorite anagram of them all, I think. Or Bank Kevin reception, I love it.
Join us next week for Patrick's funny trivia and word games.
Yes.
I did try and put in your name into one of these, you know, these anagram makers, even things you've got online. But of course, Jan's full name is so long. There was about 80 billion options that you could have gone.
You can use my maiden name if you want to.
Well, that might be simpler. But
it's Kruger.
Oh, okay.
And now you both have to pronounce that.
Kruger?
Yeah, good. Simon?
What was it?
Kruger.
Kruger.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
sure. Sorry, I keep on looking away. Yeah, I'm just indisciplined. What can I say?
That's okay.
I'll have to focus on the middle of the table.
The only part of the table where there's nothing.
Where there's no wires. Yes. And it
reminds me a bit of Trump, who they. Remember the Trump where it was such a low attention span, they would always put his name or his face into the slides they showed him because he was always.
Is that
bored?
Is that true?
That's true.
Jesus. I mean, I'm not surprised, but I didn't know it was that bad. I remember that they had to keep memos like only a couple pages.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he would, you know, lose track and get bored.
Big words.
God, fuck. Really horrible. But that's in the
you
past.
You think, you know, for most people, if you had, what do you call those screens where you read it all off? You mentioned it.
Teleprompter?
Teleprompter, yeah. You imagine if most people, you had a picture of Trump up on a teleprompter, it would make them look away, not, you know, concentrating on the writing.
Yes.
But, hey.
Chocolate
break. Eating chocolate, yeah. Russell, Russell, Russell.
Chew into the mic a little bit.
Oh, no. No.
That was a bad idea.
Where's the sausage?
I brought any, actually.
Did you have one at the stadium?
I did, yeah. I gave some to Andreas and mm-hmm. Patrick.
Yeah.
Maybe because Patrick's huge physique was in the way. I couldn't see it. Oh, we were sitting. It was your wife, Simon, Patrick, me. No, my father-in-law.
Yes.
Me, Elmo and Moritz. And was his son, he's like 14, 15, mm-hmm. at the second goal. He went on top of the seat in front of him and then he fell down.
Okay.
And his leg was between the backrest and the seat. And it was lucky he was big enough because he almost scrunched his private parts and nothing happened.
You really wouldn't want to fall down and catch your valuables in a ooh.
And it also reminded me of a time when, remember that Hertha played Dortmund back in 2016 or 17, and they won on 2-0, and I think there was a free throw by Marvin Plattenhardt.
Okay.
And when that goal was scored, I almost fell off my seat. But Micha from Damwal pulled my jersey and I didn't fall down.
Oh, what a hero.
Yes.
He's a hero, a proper hero. Yeah, why don't we talk about, before we talk about the game, let's talk about the surroundings.
Well, yeah, I mean, we took a quick walk around the stadium, Simon, Veronica and I, and, you know, had a bit of a history lesson. We might put some of those, we might put some clips at the end or whatever, or if not, I'll use them for another podcast. So.
Yeah, just as you warned, don't rely on any of those sort of bits of history being actual reality. I could have just made it all up. Apart from about the bell, that was accurate.
No, that was really awesome. That was interesting. And I was worried about the sound quality, but it turned out fine as well. And I also recorded the game, game audio, and I got some clips, some nice clips out of it as well, some funny stuff that we might.
Lots of shrieking and muttering and yes. and various comments.
So if Simon gave you history lesson, it's going to be like, and then the Eagles and the Elves beat the Wargs, and Germany was free again in 1945. So it was we're still at the 25,000 maximum.
Something like that. Yeah, because we had 21,000.
Yeah,
21,732 or something like that. Yes,
so
or
an increase of 3,000.
I'm sorry.
An increase of 3,000 over the first game.
Okay.
And Friday nights are usually bad because of the families and some people from Brandenburg, because Hertha has pretty big radius of fans coming in, apart from some coming from America or Canada. Belfodil striker, because Piontek is in, I think, individual training after did he break his foot or something? And Selke,
I forgot.
Selke was
he was on the bench, wasn't he?
Selke was on the bench, but didn't he almost break his rib?
That rings a bell. But I don't think almost breaking something counts for an injury.
No,
it's angebrochen. It's
cracked?
Cracked rib.
Oh, okay.
But not really broken, but cracked rib.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it's been 2 weeks and he's back.
Huh.
This, I think, is already Bobic paying off, getting Boateng, because I think he gave him the fire back.
Okay, I'll take that.
Okay, the match starts with injuries again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, joy.
In the 27th minute, Linus Gechter had his home debut because Boyata managed to injure himself without anybody helping out.
His hamstring, I think, right? He grabbed the back of his leg.
Yeah, he was passing the ball and took a strange step with the left foot. I talked to some people from Rangers when he was transferred. He was either very, very much injured or very, very much shit in defending. That's what they said, and I'm quoting.
Okay.
I think they also had a really mean nickname for him. But I decided to never use it because it was really mean.
What is it?
Something with shit house or something. I'll look it up. It's somewhere on my Twitter. I can find it.
Yeah, okay, because now that you mention it, you have to tell us what it is.
This is how I killed you. First half was half bad.
I'd say bad.
Yeah, it wasn't. Wasn't good, that's for sure.
You guys were talking quite a lot there. Were you talking strategy or...
I don't do strategy.
What nonsense is this?
He must have mistaken me for somebody else.
I don't know.
No, yeah, I don't know. We were, catching up, I guess.
But yeah, I don't know. I can't remember.
How did it feel to get into the stadium? Walking in, did you? Because I remember the first home game, I was crying when they played in Unahauser.
I mean...
It was lovely to be back from my perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Same. And they also added all those Dell lights.
Yeah, the LED lighting.
Yeah, LED, sorry. Dell is in French, sorry. And they weren't there last time. I got at the stadium, obviously, and it looked amazing.
Did look
I think
did
they
look
put
impressive.
All this stuff in, because last summer you saw, last time, 2020, you saw all these places that were not open. They were doing all the construction work they could do.
Okay. Makes sense.
They were talking about it before, weren't they, putting in these LED lights? Because remember, with all the hullabaloo about going to a new stadium and what have you, the concession that was made is, you might want to go to a new stadium, but we've put in some pretty blue lights.
Yeah, great concessions they're making.
But,
we want our own stadium. Yeah, you can have blue lights.
Yes, you don't need a new stadium. We've given you blue lights.
It looked fantastic, and it was really good to be back. That's true.
I felt it was awesome. Like in this titty bar in Atlanta, I have to say. The Pink Pony. The lights were a bit strip club-like.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Well, that's exactly what I said when he said that to me. So
I know you guys only go in there with sunglasses. That's why you don't know how the light looks.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, sorry, my bad. At half, what was your, how were you? I was like, oh, I said something. I texted my wife in the 30th minute. Oh, this is over. It's not going to work. It's all going to shit.
I mean, we missed at least in the 15th minute, I think we missed an incredible chance. And I remember saying to you, this is going to
come back and bite us.
Yes, absolutely. And it almost did. I mean, they took the lead for a few minutes in the second half. So two minutes?
Yeah. Ooh. Or three. Okay. I think it was the 57th, and then in the 60th, they came on and bam, bam, bam.
All right. It felt like more than that.
Yeah. In the first half, though, one of the things that I sort of remember was the defending, in that, well, we didn't concede, I guess, which is a good thing for the defense. But they did an awful lot of just hoofing it. They didn't kick it towards anything. They just sort of kicked it up or out or just anywhere. But after looking, I think it was a goal in against Bochum, where they didn't do that, and then Bochum scored. I think it was that one we saw.
That's the one where Zeefuyk says to Boyata, I got him, you step back, and then he doesn't, and then the guy runs between them, and then...
And then Boyata got nutmegged. Was that it? Yeah, was that the goal? Yeah.
And then Gechter, you know... But the guy's really great dribbler. The guy who scored, who did the assist was a really good dribbler, but still. Yeah, you have all these... It's not really a team that's so much together as a unit. And mm-hmm. Dadelov talks about automatismen.
Okay.
It's his favorite word. Körpersprache and automatismen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So the automatics, the automatisms. Mm-hmm. And
muscle memory, like you know what to do before thinking about
it. No, just more the communication and that the team knows what to do when the other guy does something.
Okay.
For example, I don't know who plays for Bayern, but they would always know, okay, if I put the ball there, Robben is going to be there and fuck him. And
indeed.
Yeah, so you had some trouble there. And defense hasn't been so good. I mean, okay, the Bayern game is always a write-off, but we haven't lost 5-0 them in a long, long time.
No, we usually do okay, even if we've been rubbish about... You know, with everybody else, we've always sort of done okay. We might have lost, but...
But I mean, last season, when wasn't that when Jacek Nankam scored the equalizer and then they won on they won with one goal difference? And I remember traveling to Munich in January 2018 and they didn't score a goal. And all these Bayern fans were so pissed. They were yelling at us on the train and everything because... Bayern couldn't score because that was the game where Torun Erriga really brought the fight to Lewandowski.
Okay.
And Lewandowski kept flopping and flopping, but I think the referee didn't go for his shit.
Nice.
And he didn't score. I mean, of course, it was like, but they managed to pull it off. But how shitty can you be as a fan that you're upset that a team doesn't score? I mean, I was on the S-Bahn. I took the S-Bahn to the game, and I saw this lady with the Fürth shirt and I was about to talk to her. I said, hey, I wish you all the luck in the world after tonight or something like that. Yeah.
I think after that much success, you become entitled, you know, and you almost take it as a personal insult that how dare they not let us score, you know? So, yeah, fuck them. So they are the worst.
It's basically FC Bayern, the Windsors of Germany.
The what?
The Windsors. The Queen.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, the Windsors. Yeah, of course. Duh.
Oh, sorry. In German, it's Windsor.
Barcelona fans, Bayern fans, they are the worst. Done. Mic drop. I'm walking out.
With your apartment. Okay. So second half was
night
way
and day.
Different.
Yeah,
I mean, it was different. Better, but it didn't help much. And then Zeefuyk. I the thing is, I have to say, I didn't write down the goals of the other teams because
who gives a shit.
Yeah, I think it was the 57th minute when Stieler, who is one of the worst referees in Germany, awarded them a penalty, which we looked up again. There was contact, but I don't think it's a foul.
That's super harsh.
And the guy goes like,
like he got shot. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's always, you know, that's one of the troubles with the VAR.
Mm-hmm.
You always, he's not going to call that off because there was contact. So it's not a serious missed incident.
Yeah.
It's not
technically, he's not wrong. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the problem. I tried to explain this to a guy when Hertha were playing Stuttgart at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to explain to him. And he was really pissed at me. He said, hey, I'm just trying to help you with the rules, asshat. And then he got into a fight with somebody else.
Typical day.
Oh, I once had a guy thrown out of a Falcons game in Atlanta.
How come?
He was a Jets fan. And my roommate had gotten his cards for cheap. I think some guy owed him money at the bar he worked at. And Benchwarmers, Atlanta. I went there once and I got so shit-faced, I don't remember anything. And so this guy was just yelling shit, and I said some things, and he got really upset. And then he thought it was somebody behind me, so I kept standing there. And then the guy started fighting, and then security came and threw him out of the game. And the Falcons won. It was the worst passing game of Vic's career. Nobody cares about that. Okay. So we put in
Yashemsky. Tangent number 43.
Welcome to DMTF.
We put in Yashemsky for Plattenhardt, mm-hmm. which I think was pretty neat.
And he's got two legs.
Yes.
But he's tiny.
That's
he's
not so tiny.
Hey, but yesterday I was doodling around.
He's two-legged tiny.
I was.
He doesn't need woodworm treatment.
Because the worms can't even catch him. I heard they call him Sonic on the team.
Oh, really?
Or DJ.
Okay.
Because DJ, I've heard before. I've not heard Sonic.
Yeah, because he has this... I think Sonic is more that what his teammates called him in the youth teams.
Okay.
He won the U19 championship in 2018, I guess. Oof.
Hmm.
I think 18. Wouldn't count on it. Yashemsky was... And he was... He gave them hell on the left wing.
Nice.
Okay. And then things got... Okay, we had the penalty, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. And then I'm not sure if Dade decided to do the substitutions then or you already had them planned.
That's a good question.
But it's interesting how much...
the game changed completely after those subs.
But Dade's substitutions used to be so bad, he would wait till the 80th minute and then somebody would come on the...
We did that in... He did that recently, didn't he? And people were sort of complaining big time because he didn't do any subs until right at the last minute.
I think that was last season, right?
No, what I thought it was possible. I thought there was a game this season, but I remember
it was always we would put new striker and in the 80th minute there, you know, you have 10 minutes, score some goals.
Yeah, I mean, subs after the 80th minute is basically time wasting, you know, in my opinion.
Or little rewards for being
yes.
That's also a possibility, but I mean, you know, with under 10 minutes to go, by the time you sort of get into the, you know, the feel of the game, it's all over really. So
but after the game, did anyone ask Dardai if those subs were directly a direct consequence of the goal?
The thing is, I haven't seen the press conference because I was busy all weekend.
Okay.
I just saw what he said on the zone,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't talk about that much.
Okay.
He just talked about he got a yellow from the referee to the end.
Okay.
And it was said on a different podcast I listened to that he almost got a red card.
Jesus, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like when managers, they get a red, they get sent into the stands, I think.
They had to go to the stands and they can't communicate with the team.
Okay.
So it would have been Seke, basically. Hey, did you see Vedo? I didn't see him.
No.
I just remembered him today.
Mm.
Hmm. Whatever. okay, so what... I think after the... I was like, oh, here we go again. Hertha plays okay, and then...
I mean, to be honest, after the first half, that was my feeling. It was like something is going to happen and we're going to lose. After the first half, I was not optimistic. But
I think that kind of counts as trauma in psychological.
That's possible, yeah. That makes sense.
Yes. I think there's a lot of that too.
It was nice to see them fight back with a vengeance. And second half was fun as hell.
It sounded like the whole architecture changed, the whole static of the game, I mean. Yeah, because Ekelenkamp came on for Boateng, which was, Boateng got the worst yellow card I've ever seen. Serda was on break and he was really fouled, and I would have said it was a tactical foul at least. Mm-hmm. Would have been a yellow card. He didn't do that. And then Boateng slid for the ball and both his arms were up, and then he gave him a yellow card for that, and he was furious.
He got a yellow because his arms were up? No.
It was a handball yellow card.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah, I missed it somehow. Okay.
I looked at the...
Okay. Wow, that's horse shit. It was a bad ref, because I heard a few people after the game mentioning, like, specifically, we won. Yeah, that's awesome, but that ref was horse shit.
Stieler is always the worst.
Okay.
Do we have it on tape what I said about him?
That's a good question. Maybe. What did you say
about the Holocaust?
Excuse me. I'll just get on the phone and contact our lawyers.
I think you did. It was like, yeah, those referees are like
all Nazis.
Yes, and they want to stay in power somehow. Yeah. So that's why they became ref or something like that.
No, but seriously, it's one of these old refs who. Brick is the same, and they're mostly arrogant. They don't talk to the players. They have their chin up, and
there is one that has a really good reputation.
Aytekin.
Yes.
Aytekin, Ittrich.
Steinhaus, but she's not doing it anymore.
Grefe is gone. He never reffed us, but I went to the Marcelinho farewell game. Uh-huh. You know this. What's the word? If you do something...
Testimonial?
No. If you give money away to somebody...
Charity?
Like, yeah, it was a charity.
Donation?
It was a charity game.
Okay.
Oh, a benefit.
Okay.
I call it the Marcelinho benefit, because he wasted all his money and then he had this... In the off-season, we had this game and I saw Boateng was there, Zeca was there, and goalkeeper was Kirai.
Oh, with his sweatpants?
Yes.
Awesome.
And Grefe could ref that one because it was an official match.
Okay.
Because he's from Berlin.
Okay.
That's why we also can't get Zweier, which probably is a good thing because he's an idiot too. No, but if you look at referees, some talk, and it's always good. And one player from Leverkusen, no, from Gladbach, world champion, the guy who went out of the final, he couldn't remember.
Kramer?
Yeah, Kramer. He talked about how some refs are not good and some refs just talk to you and they make jokes. And at some point he was yelling at, I think, either Grefe or Aytekin. And he said, oh, that's all shit. And he said, hey, you know what? I see you play shit, I don't talk to you.
That's fantastic.
To be honest, when I watched the game on real life, there were some situations where Stieler talked to the people and then they did some... handshake or some, okay. I think Serda at some point really, but Boateng was really pissed. Yeah, I just hate Stieler, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, don't apologize.
I mean, he has this resting bitch face. It's really horrible. Okay, we had Jürgen Ekelenkamp. He's a new number 10, did you realize that? I mean, nobody noticed, but when Cunha left, the number 10
was available.
Went to Ekelenkamp, which is a huge deal in Germany. I know about the numeric games in England.
I know that Arsenal was it got some kind of a big deal when Emil Smith Rowe took number 10.
But didn't Özil have the 10 for a long time?
Before him, it was Özil at Arsenal. Yeah. So
and now.
Now Emil Smith Rowe.
How are they doing?
Arsenal. They won against Burnley, but right now they are 12th. Things are looking up.
That's okay.
Honestly.
We get back to the next time we talk.
Sorry.
Second, and I think also as important substitution was Belfodil, who had, I think, one shot. He didn't, there wasn't much happening. It wasn't that bad, but I only saw him in this one scene.
Yeah, it was.
And the commentator said something, and him on the bench was really, when they were really into it and yelling and ah. And but Belfry looked like he had just, I don't know, killed a kid or something. It was really sad. Yeah, Zelke came on.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelke, he has all these weaknesses. We're not going to get it because it might take a long time to talk about all of them. But he was on fire.
Yeah, he had several really nice chances.
Two.
Zelke?
Yeah, three.
Three, yes.
And one was the worst. Because they came on and Ecklenkamp got the ball somewhere near the box.
Mm-hmm.
And three passes later, it was on the wing with, I think, Maulida on the left wing. And he passed it to him. And he played a perfect pass right in the middle of the box. And Zelke would have just, I mean, just kicked the fucking ball. And he just stopped it. And
One touch. One touch that wasn't needed. And it ruined everything.
And you heard the stadium go, aww.
Yes.
And that wasn't the people, that was the concrete that was groaning.
Yeah. And at some point, the same was chanting Davy Zelke, and I'm not sure if they were making fun of him or trying to cheer him up because they felt bad for him.
Mm. Good question.
Because
when was it?
Before the second goal was scored, or after the first goal, after he missed some chances.
It was probably to give him shit, I'd say.
He had this one, he had the header, and he had the shot that Burchard just stopped.
Mm, yes.
But which led to a goal in the next second. Corner kick for Hertha.
Ecke.
Tor.
And Matondade. I think Matondade is the best. Should do all the... Matondai should do all the runde bälle, all the free kicks, all this
mm-hmm.
should just be Matondai.
Yeah,
I think his left foot. He has this. I don't know how he does it, but all his shots have this. They're not really fast, but they're really dangerous, and usually they go somewhere. I mean, I can't remember the last time Hertha really scored on a corner.
Wasn't it? We talked about it yesterday. Not yesterday, but last time. Was it like 160?
It was a long time.
Something like that.
I mean, it was just, we got another corner. Well, we're not going to score from that.
The last time, they didn't score from the corner, but the corner got deflected, and then somebody scored the goal.
Okay.
So that's different. But this time, it was just a very, very strong and lots of...
Spin.
And then Jürgen Ekelenkamp just went in there and, jeez.
Johnny on the spot. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Jürgen strong back.
What a way to make a first impression.
I was dumbfounded. I couldn't just.
That was brilliant.
This just happened.
Yes.
I had this. You were asking me because we have this. This document open where I put in facts and stuff mm-hmm. we have to talk about, or questions from our listeners.
And the listener may take a minute to process that we have some facts.
And it says numbers 87. Do you know what the 87 is?
That's Sidney Crosby's number for all the hockey fans out there.
is he talking in tongues again?
But
that's
no.
You thinking about that bar in Atlanta again, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not a bar. It's a very nice gentleman's club, and they have a great buffet.
All right.
Okay.
Good to know.
But I wouldn't know. I just went for the liquid drinks.
So back to 87.
Yes.
Yeah. Any guess?
Can we have some context? Is it related to Hertha at least?
If it knows the if it wins, I will send it out of the caves. If not, we will kill it. Tolkien reference. Oh Jesus, I'm Gollum.
I've no idea.
Okay,
Take it out of the box.
The Hobbit.
I've never read the books, and I stopped watching the movies after.
What has it got in its pockets?
What has it got in its pockets?
Nope, sorry.
Okay, 87. We just talked about the first goal.
Yeah. Best get back to football, I think.
87. The number of touches before the goal? I don't know.
Seconds it took him to score his first goal.
Ah, oh. Yeah, okay.
Well, that's impressive. Nice.
1 minute, 27 seconds. And he could have had his first assist after 10 seconds if Zelka was...
Yes.
Any faster in the head. Yeah, so we had... I think after this first goal was... They were happy, or they were celebrating, mm-hmm. but not as much as after the second one. But you could feel this momentum was really building up.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, right from the beginning of the first half, it was like a different team.
Mm. Oh, yeah, sorry. That was something that Zelke said in the interview after the match. What did Dardai say? Oh, we better not talk about that, but it helped. Go ahead, Simon.
No, I'm just saying it was like a different team when they came out in that second half. And I think it's sort of built up as the half went on.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, I think there was an attempt, wasn't there, to try to sort of, you know, sing them through the last few minutes. But it didn't work as well as it does sometimes, but hey.
Oh, yeah, but there was a chance, a really close chance by foot. That's why people shut up, or there was some foul. Something happened, so they stopped singing because they were busy complaining or something like that. In the 68th minute, Maulida was injured. Mm-hmm. Also, muscle. And Richter came on, and Richter was instrumental. If you say that the atmosphere of the intensity changed when Richter came in, he was, I don't know, reminded me of those bloodhounds on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
There was some scene where he lost the ball and he went all the way to the baseline,
mm-hmm.
and tried to win the ball. And I think the foot player was trying to clear it. He blocked the ball and was upset that he didn't get it. I mean, we also talked about Zelke after this one miss, how he... I think he kicked the post and then he yelled. Yes.
That was pretty good. Now, yeah, I mean, I mentioned that while watching the highlights. It was the first time I paid close attention to Richter, and he plays with, you know, a certain you know pizzazz. So some
hate.
Yes, and some style. Because because. His touch when he got the ball, it's hard to describe, but it was pretty
sweet. Nobody talks about it because of the own goal that happened. Hertha had another corner, but from the other side, I guess. And it, of course, as a Hertha corner, it always goes to the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow there was some heading. And then Stark was like, I'm just going to put it on the wing. And it was a half high, it was more of a cross than a pass, and then Richter somehow, the ball was coming from his left and he put his right foot behind his left foot and somehow stopped the ball and then instantly hit it for the cross that would decide the game, but it was ruled an own goal, and that was really sad. But it was
it was announced in the stadium as being by, is it Ellen Camp?
Mm-hmm.
That scored it. It was announced to him, wasn't it?
But I remember that.
Didn't realise until the train coming home again afterwards that it had been given as an own goal.
Yes.
Yeah, I was on the we were on the radio in the car, and then we said, "Hertha won by one goal by Ekelenkamp and one own goal." What?
yeah,
that's unfortunate.
But I think it's an assist.
I think that reaction of what? Hey, probably spread across the whole city, I would imagine.
Yeah, but somehow Bauer, I think he tries to kick the ball with his left or right foot, misses it, and then he kicks it against his other leg and it goes in.
Okay.
But it was because the pressure of Ekelenkamp, who was trying to reach the ball. It looked to me like he reached the ball. But it was so funny, you know, he hit the ball, there was contact to the ball, and then it was duck, 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 duck.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sehr guter Pass. Zum Ball, meine Fresse!
Best, and then that was his best chance in the entire game.
And
it was stopped by Burchard.
Okay.
Hertha legend. What happened then? I'm sure because he didn't control it as well as he.
Oh, he did. And the shot was great, but the goalie just...
I'm thinking of it a different occasion.
The scene with the header, or the one where he got the ball from Eklund Cup and just didn't do anything with it?
Well, it seemed to just... I mean, I can only sort of vaguely remember that it just sort of, you know, it hit him, it came down to the ground, but he just didn't do anything. It was bizarre.
It didn't look that great at the stadium, but if you look at the highlights, could have been a neat goal.
Mm-hmm.
There was a defender in, but he put the ball past the defender and then just deflected off some leg or something of Hertha legend. What's his name? Sascha Burchardt. Yeah, but I mean, just how Selke and Richter, they were just, I don't know. They could have killed someone if he says, oh, God. And it's a feeling I haven't had in a long time. I mean, apart from the fact that we haven't been there for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but then can we talk about how there was 11 minutes left to play?
Mm-hmm.
And then I put on the stopwatch. You usually put on the stopwatch because they stop showing you the time.
Yes. Yeah.
So my wife, who wasn't there, would normally put it on. And he said 4 minutes.
Yes.
And I think he ended the game at the sixth minute.
Oh, okay. I mean, I had a vague idea because I was recording the game, so I had some numbers, but I didn't realize that it went over by that much. Huh. Oh, yeah. I remember that, yes.
So at the end of match day, where were we, 5? Pet Hatter is in 9th mm-hmm. place.
Yes.
Only 4 goals away from Köpenick.
Hmm.
The next match is away. Oh, anything else you would like to add?
It was good to be back.
It was definitely good to be back, yeah.
Did you miss the ultras, or what about the atmosphere?
I thought the atmosphere, bearing in mind the number of people there,
yeah,
and the sort of core of the, you know, the Ostkurve wasn't there, I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
With a big difference that usually you have them just doing their chants, and this is more reacting to the game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Somebody said it's more like England now, but I think it's much louder.
Well, that's a bit harsh.
Depends if you're talking about the library, also known as the Emirates.
Yes.
So,
yeah. I saw on Twitter that it was the anniversary of this goal by Juan Cordoba when he played for Cologne.
Okay.
You know when Cologne made the Europa League, and then they went to the away game and they brought beers and smoked and. All of Emirates was really... They played Arsenal.
I remember that, yes.
And it was this 40-meter goal by Cordoba.
Okay.
The only bad thing is they had these pajamas on and, I don't know, neon yellow. Did you see Leverkusen yesterday? They played in blue. Blue and green.
Okay, no, I didn't see it.
Oh, by the way, remember the guy who kicked Toussaint in the neck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got a red card against Stuttgart because he was sliding into the guy and his foot or the open sole was right above the knee.
Ooh,
nasty.
Okay.
And this one guy who does the German, the Kulinas Abend, the German refereeing podcast, he says the further away from the, what is this?
Ankle.
From the ankle, mm-hmm. the further up it becomes a red card.
It was above the knee. Yeah, that's a red. That's not a...
Oh, and the one center back, he was for a few days a rumor to come to Hertha from Union. He scored an own goal.
That's karma.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He just did that to prove that he was ready to come to Hertha.
Yes.
it was part of the interview process.
Exactly. See, do you see what I'm ready to do?
Look what I could do.
Yeah, exactly.
You fit perfectly, lad.
look how committed I am to the cause.
There was one scene that I really remember because Sada lost the ball in the second half somewhere near the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ran and ran and bumped and fought. And then he got the ball back. And the entire scene went, whoa.
I remember that. Yes. Yeah. That was.
Well, that's what you want to see, isn't it? Yes. I mean, we all sort of fight like that. It's
and that was different from earlier in the season as well. You know, I don't have the impression that I don't remember seeing that earlier in the season. That kind of, like almost anger. You know,
yeah.
Rid of Bobic said when he came in and he had all these interviews and there was this hour long press conference with I think it was Arne Friedrich and it was the president sat with him.
Okay.
What's his face?
Not Schmidt.
Carsten Schmidt.
Carsten Schmidt? And
the president, Gegenbauer.
Okay, yeah.
And they talked for an hour and he was awesome. And he said, yeah, you know, first we have to win the city back, and blah, blah, blah. And he said that they would get rid of players with not the right mentality and that they might take some time. And I think it's better that he didn't buy some guy. I mean, remember what in the winter when Klinsmann was there, they paid 180 million for players and in total they got less than 10 goals from them. And okay. They got Piontek and Cunha and...
Cordoba, I guess?
No, Cordoba was later. Cordoba came before the 2021 season. No, it was the summer 19... the winter 1920.
Okay.
When they paid a record, world record for the most transfer fees paid.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess at least it's good to see that they weren't joking when they meant, like, you know, going to get rid of the deadwood. And that's why
as everybody has said loads of times before, he was a very talented player, but in a game like we've just had, whereas the guys there were sort of really, really fighting for it, they're, you know, quite aggressive about it almost. Mm-hmm. Cunha, if it wasn't going his way, he would basically sulk.
Yeah.
And he would, you know, make all these grimaces and then he wouldn't or Luka Bakio when he would just sit on his ass and didn't move.
So you can do without that.
Yeah, still gonna be interesting to see how I'm just gonna watch Atletico play with my popcorn and see how just waiting for the manager to to pull him off.
Oh yeah, he's going to murder him at the center of the pitch after the game
or in practice and make it look like an accident.
So the next game, I'm just watching the schedule. It is at Fizzy Drink.
And they've been really bad. They've been really bad for...
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, they lost...
Zabitzer?
Zabitzer, Upamecano. No, what's his name? Yeah, okay.
To Bayern.
That guy. They're Nagelsmann as well. And they lost someone else. I forgot, but yeah.
Timo Wings left last season for Chelsea?
Yeah, that was before last season to Chelsea. Yeah, I mean, you cannot lose two of your best players and they didn't replace them really.
And then they only got Da Silva and he's still not doing well.
Okay.
I mean, Da Silva was top scorer for Frankfurt by a mile. I think he had 24 goals, 22 goals.
Okay.
He had lots of goals.
It's not clicking yet. So, where are they in the standings? 12th. Leipzig is 12th right now. Jesus. Okay.
They had one good game against Stuttgart, I think 4-1, 4-0. And apart from that, they drew against Cologne on Saturday or Sunday.
They won two. Only two wins of the season were 4-0. Okay, no, the DFB Cup. Yeah, okay, sorry. That's not the Bundesliga. So, yeah, you're right. Lost 1-0, won 4-0. Lost 1-0 again against Wolfsburg. Lost 4-1 against Bayern. Lost to Manchester City in the Champions League. That's true. 6-3, yes.
Ooh.
And, tied against Köln. Last weekend, 1-1. So
I think it's also the...
This is winnable.
Apart from they lost their arch. Do you say arch? No, the
spine?
No, in Germany say Achse, an axis.
Okay.
They lost the axis of Sabitzer and Vermecano. So...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like Hertha did when they let all these older players go. Oh, by the way, I saw that Shelbred scored a goal from outside the box for Rosenborg this weekend.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, pretty sweet. So that's almost it. I think we only have some housekeeping to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few questions from our listeners. The first one is from Josh. How do you pronounce that? Can you pronounce the Twitter handle, please?
Kanak Fußball.
Because I wasn't sure about the word. It sounds like Kanaka, which is a mean word in German for a Turk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Okay, no,
isn't
yeah.
Isn't the team like the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, Vancouver Canucks is like, another word for Canadians.
Is it French or English? Or?
It's not French, I can tell you that much, but yes.
Maybe Joel would know. Joel, if you hear this, let us know.
I was just wondering whether it's a native.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
No, I mean,
but
it's not English, is it?
Probably not.
So. No.
Probably not, but
yeah.
I mean, that was. I read a Wikipedia article about how many American cities have Native American names or states.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Albuquerque.
Okay, yeah.
Milwaukee. Isn't there a scene on the first Wayne's World?
Yes, with Alice Cooper, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, we're totally focused right now.
Yes,
awesome. Okay, Josh, maybe pick a less interesting Twitter handle next time, like Josh10479. Were the two wins only because we played the two newbies, or are they a sign of a fortune's changing, at least a little bit? First up, Simon, gun to your head.
Me?
Yes.
I don't know anything.
Only because
I thought Josh asked about new sign of
fortune's changing.
Yes.
Is it?
Or is it just a flash in the pan?
Is it?
Well, we have played two newcomers to the Bundesliga, so if we couldn't do well against those two, then we really are stuffed.
Fürth are really bad. I mean, compared to the rest of the league, they're really. I mean, Bochum might have a chance, but then the guy who scored the goal against Hertha tore his ACL in practice.
Yes.
So that might also be a bit of a problem for them.
It was promising, as we've mentioned before, about the either fight in the team, but how well they would fight against a better opponent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very well fighting hard against somebody that on the face of it at least is weaker. So
it's
the jury's out on that one, I think.
Yeah, but it's basically intangible. It's not okay. They had 14-15. I mean, Hertha both times outperformed their. The XG they usually did under Dardai, but you can't say. I mean, if you look at, I think, possession and duels, not really in favor of Hertha. Of course, they had the ball more, so Fürth ran more. And I think the total number of distance covered is that in the first half they didn't run much, so the second, it doesn't really show. I think if you looked at the last half hour, would be a whole different story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. And also, I don't remember if we were recording when you mentioned that, but Dardai used to make his substitutions much later in the game. But this time, I mean, it turned the entire game on its head. So
right on the money.
It's probably a combination of several factors, but I think. I mean, the next game is against Leipzig, as we mentioned, and it is winnable. So it might be a sign of better things to come, I'd say.
But Leipzig,
well, if they have another game that goes well and they sort of carry on fighting like they were, then that might give them the sort of the confidence or something to be able to sort of carry it forward.
Yes,
which would be nice to see. Obviously.
Also, Leipzig and Schalke is always a game he played well.
Ah, okay.
But I think apart from that, I wouldn't be surprised if Leipzig were the team that Hertha performs worst against, because I remember we won in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
We beat Munich once, 2-1, 2-0. Remember when Duda and Lazaro or something?
Rings a bell.
Friday night game or something like that. Leipzig has always been shit. I mean, they are shit, of course, but mm-hmm. It has always been a shit game for Hertha, except for this one away win. When Torun Riga went out after he was the king of all flops. And I was so mad. I wouldn't want I wouldn't be surprised if Stieler was the coach, the referee there, asshole.
Oh my god! I hope not.
And now we totally have to change our settings to not family friendly.
Yes.
And all because of me.
So right. I don't mind.
Yeah. So it's the intangibles, and if they can keep that momentum up. Oh, one more thing about the match. Ekelund Kamp. He was asked after the match how it was for him. He said, I was really sad to sit on the bench.
Oh, bless.
And I think it's also good that we have these former Ajax players.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have four. Now we have... No, we used to have three. Now we have two.
Okay.
Zifrik and... So I think it's a good thing about having your own brand of football. So it's basically just... They know, okay, I put it there and he's going to go there because that's what they learned throughout the academy.
Yeah.
I think Zifrik used to be... He came from Honing, but I think he used to play for Ajax at some point. And Ekelund Kamp came directly from Ajax.
Okay.
And I heard that some people were, many people back in the Netherlands were really mad that Ajax let him go, apparently.
Yeah, but...
they were like, how could we let that guy go? You know?
But I went to Transfermarkt, into the forum. I think that's a German side and the British side. And they always have everybody puts stuff in there. There was an article from some from Dutch newspaper, and I can get the gist if I read it because it's so similar to German.
Mm-hmm.
And the refs, the coach said something like, yeah, you know what, we're too busy at this position, so we had to let him go.
Hmm.
Or too crowded.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they also, I think I saw a few seconds when I was on the zone and I know it was on Twitter. The guy who used to play for Frankfurt, Haller?
Yes, Sebastian.
He scored three or four goals in that match?
Yes.
So it's hard to... Same with Hertha. When you buy players like that, you have trouble getting all your players from the academy through.
All right. So that's it for the first... That's it for the first question. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah. And now, no thank you to Brian. I think he's mad at me because we were... talking, I'm sure if it was on Twitter or private chat, we were talking that I didn't realize that he went to University of Houston, the Phi Slammer Jammer. It's a really great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about
the Phi Slammer Jammer with Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, yeah, and Hank Gathers.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was not that's a different team, not Hank Gathers.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. But I forgot the third one. But
it's a documentary, ESPN 30 for 30, about the team of the University of Houston that almost won the title.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I sent him a GIF of they lost the final to some state, North Carolina State, with Coach Val Wagner.
Yes, Jimmy Val Wagner.
So I sent him a GIF of the coach running around and being happy. I think that really pissed them off.
Shout out to the North American WhatsApp group.
UH Cougar Dude 69. We're going to spare you the back and forth because...
Yes. Please.
But you can look it up if you just look into our timeline or go to UH Cougar Dude 69. We suffer from far too many muscular injuries. Who is responsible for preventing this? Injuries happen, but we suffer far too many. We're doing something wrong in training. Thoughts?
We talked about that before recording. I think there was something about it is a combination of factors, but many of those some of those injured players were from the Euros, and some didn't have really time to recover properly, and someone else was a complete accident. I think was it Klünter
fell on the shoulder. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
He said something about was it a training camp or something?
Oh yeah, Hertha has two training camps.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is they call the conditioning.
Okay.
Where it's Kuchno, you know, the horrible conditioning coach.
Okay.
He's a really nice guy. He came to a OFC meeting once because they try to bring in somebody so it keep it interesting, you know, because the rest is always a mess because it's people complaining about shit. Anyway, he was there and he was really nice, but he said himself that he's an asshole when it comes to work.
Okay.
And that he gives everybody a hard time. Except for Kalu. I think Kalu was really always on top of everything.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So they do this conditioning first, and most of the players with the muscular injuries are not ones that attended this camp. So it's
that might be a part of the answer.
Who do we have? Boyata. Boyata went to the Euros, and he's always very injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
Maulida just came to us from, was it from Lille? I'm not sure. From what's the team he came from?
Forgot what the
Lille or.
I think so.
Lille or Milano, at least it's France.
Milano is in France, yes, sure.
No, that's a German joke.
Oh, okay.
Who was it? Andy Möller.
Okay.
He was once asked where he's going to play next. He said Madrid or Milano. The main thing, it's going to be Spain.
Nice.
Yeah. So he wasn't there. Maulida just came in. Who else is injured? Okay, Jovetic is old.
Mm-hmm.
He's 35, so that just happens.
Yes.
And he didn't play much before he came here. Who else is injured?
Mm.
Klünter? Boyata? Oh, Torunariga. Torunariga played in the under something. Mm-hmm. He wasn't there. Klünter, accident. And I think that's about it. Anything? I mean, still very grateful for the very important UEFA qualifiers where Rune Jahrstein got
long COVID. Yeah,
his long COVID.
Jesus,
really shitty. Yeah. So you could blame it, but then you also something they said on Hertha base greetings. They said that you always see this isolated, but you have to look at other teams too,
mm-hmm.
and other teams had the same. I think there was. Was it Gladbach last season? They hardly had any players left standing. So all these muscular injuries.
It's true. Try to isolate it as a particular thing.
And also this whole pandemic thing is still, things are different.
Yes.
I think it changes a lot. I mean, it changes the market, of course, and it changes a lot of what you do. You don't go out that much. It's difficult. And the whole calendar is still lagging somehow.
Yes.
Because it's already, okay, the season's starting. It's way too late. Or why are we still playing? Because then sometimes I look at my phone and I have these 2 years ago you did this and season was over, but we haven't played the final.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not sure about muscular injuries in Premier League, what's happening there, but maybe some topic for another time. Or Brian would like to come on the show and talk about that.
No, it's a good question, but right now, I don't think Brian says we are doing something wrong in training. I wouldn't go that far as of now. Like if it keeps happening throughout the entire season and we are much worse off than other teams in the Bundesliga, okay. But right now I'd say let's not.
I mean, it's always going to be a risk, isn't it? In any sport.
Yes.
I mean, to sort of twang a muscle, it almost comes out of nowhere. I mean, I've sort of ripped a thigh muscle a few times back in the day playing squash, and I wasn't doing anything different. I didn't feel like it, and I was certainly well warmed up. So I used to swim a mile before as a warm up before playing squash. So
okay.
It wasn't a matter of not being warmed up, but it was
and then
horrible injury. That
many of all these factors, like the pitch is a mess.
Yes.
Yeah. Bits of turf are coming up all over the place, aren't they?
My garden looks better than that.
When our players have to put the pitch back together again mid-match.
That's one thing. And then, you know, there's always more games. When you have the Nations League and all that shit. So there's a lot going on.
I'm really against international games more and more. It's starting to really get on my nerves.
No nations, no borders.
Maybe not. But
yeah, but also, I mean, last season you had Piontek broke something.
Yes.
Nets broke something.
Yes.
Cordoba tore something.
Right, yeah.
Which is not a muscular injury, so most of these injuries were just... And these are injuries that people get when their body is fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these broken foots and stuff like that.
That's true.
Okay.
Well, even if they don't injure themselves in the game, it's still game time that they're sort of burning up, and that's going to have an impact on their bodies, which comes back to bite us when they play.
Yeah, the team's a bit stretched thin at the on the defensive position, so we'll see what happens there. And I can
we've got a defense.
I can definitely see our picture had getting some mid-level defensive player in there. I mean, we have Gechter right now who's filling in. Without Gechter, we'd be would be Stark and Stark.
Yes.
Oh, Dardai. But he was injured also. But he had was something with his ankle, so it's not really muscular also. And I think he's a bit he's not really big enough already. I mean, if you follow Tuonariga on social media, he's training, nothing else.
Okay.
He all the summer, there was a summer video in 18 or something. He went with who was the goalkeeper who's now at Pauli, Smarsh.
Mm-hmm.
Him. Then there was still this we have some guys left. I mean, there's Ernesto from the under 23s.
Okay.
And they were all just at the pool working out and then doing some pool and working out. Sidney Friede was there also, who had to end his career because of a knee injury. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yes.
And also interesting what's going to happen when once Piontek comes back, if he comes back. Goalkeeper position really, I think, pretty interesting and exciting. I really want to see Christensen play.
Because
mm-hmm. he seems to be the right kind of asshole on the pitch. So we're done right now, but we're going to leave you with a very, very, very long and elaborate comment from one of our listeners. You can still contact us through SpeakPipe. You can find all the information on our socials. We're going to pin it or something. And we have a link tree now. I think it's linktree.com/DMTF. It's definitely linked in our Instagram profile, where I put some nice stories in there. Did you see them?
Yes.
Ah, well, okay. That's about it. Somebody has to fly back to Plague Country.
Plague Island. Get it right, Jan. Yeah. Plague Island.
Plague Island, yes.
And then we're going to give Country Island, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to say goodbye, and then you're going to hear Marco, and probably if Patrick feels in the mood, he's going to put on some
clips from the...
Oh, yeah, and those are not for...
from before and during the game. Yeah. Or maybe we might sprinkle them throughout the recording.
If they come up, listener discretion...
is advised, for sure. Absolutely.
You know, my personality changes. You know, I'm a nice guy, and then I'm saying...
Yes.
I'm like Bjorn. Another Tolkien reference. Man.
All right. So, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Brian and Josh and Marco, for your contributions. We'll probably be back after...
And thank you, dear listener, for listening.
You awake? Hello?
Hello?
So, yeah, when will
anybody out there?
When will we be back?
Oh, I'll just see. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Simon is leaving, so us again, but maybe we can do it in person and then put him in there through some other...
Or maybe like we could be in person and have Simon on the Zencaster. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that would be perfect.
Hybrid.
Yes, hybrid, exactly.
Okay, all right, Simon's doing his prayers.
Yeah, jug band. No, I started a jug band. And Simon is packing up as we are talking. So, yep, time is of the essence.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye, everyone. Listening. Thanks.
Simon, some final words.
Oh, some final words. Some final words.
Excellent. That's the spirit.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've got to go. Sorry.
Cheers.
Hi, the MTF podcast. First of all, I'm not a professional podcaster, so excuse me if it gets a little rough at times. Speaking to myself is not my daily work. Okay, let's go. Hi, the MTF podcast and Hertha fans all over the world. My name is Marco. I'm a lifelong Herthaner since the early 80s. Born in Berlin, raised in Munich, currently living outside Hamburg in a small town called Winsen. Yes, the Winsen Klaus Schmidt is also from. My dad played for Hertha as a junior, and my family is from Wedding. So blue and white are running through my veins. In my opinion, we have two different problems surrounding our team right now. First is the backlash of the current roster creation Michael Preetz was responsible for. The actual team, at least before yesterday's transfer deadline, is filled with his players. Some are good, some are okay, Some are confident players and human beings, some are not. There is, or maybe was, no real natural leader on this team. From the outside looking in, you had alpha male wannabes like Cunha and Córdoba. I would take out Dodi Lukebakio here. I think he was a human everybody liked within the team. But he was no big dog. He's a good offensive player, but he didn't seem to have an overboarding ego and wasn't the kind of guy who puts his teammates under pressure or on fire. Cunha was a type of player, but I think his ego and his intangibles were way too much for his teammates, and I think not everybody could follow him. Maybe that's because he looked selfish in many situations. And besides that, I think as good as Cunha was as a player on the pitch, seeking the next great moment and score a fantastic goal, he was not the type of person who gives everything to get back on the own half after the ball switched to the other team. I think his defensive efforts were not enough, and most of the other players could see that, day in and day out. Cunha had bad moments. Cunha's bad defensive moments outscored his good moments by far. From the coach side of view, you have to think, how much effort need all my other 10 players to back him up? Do I have skilled enough players to back him? Are they mentally tough enough to do this game after game? In the modern era of soccer, every single team has 11 players that want to run for 90 minutes. Some of them are good or talented players. Some of them are pure fighters. But they all go fast all the time. That's the way it is right now in professional soccer. If you can give only 30 minutes, you are out. I think very good teams with a fighting spirit can cover this for a time. Maybe Atletico can do this for a while. But their coach Simeone, how long will he be okay with it? You could see the same in the Olympic Games soccer tournament. Cunha played a warm, more offensive role in the Brazilian team because their midfield was more skilled and definitely more pressing behind him, and all their players were so good in running the pitch up and down. But they had one common goal, to win the gold medal. You could not compare this to Hertha's midfield. Right now we have talented, athletic players. Very young, but very little confidence, who need to get more miles under their wings. And we have some old dogs, talented, proven veterans, but always one injury away from being out for the season. Like Khedira last year or Ibisevic before. Or maybe now Jovetic and Boateng. You need these old dogs, but there is one trick to it. You need 11 of them to get to the same intensity level as your opponent. It's a simple psychological phenomenon. Group thinking or group dynamics. The whole ship sails as long as everybody thinks all of his teammates are giving the best they can. It doesn't matter if everybody is skilled or extremely talented. As long as they are confident, the group as a whole is more competitive than a team that has 10 players, so-called good teammates, and one star with an extreme ego. You can observe it in many leagues, tournaments, and so on. In most cases, the better built teams win. You have to temper your ego to a level where it can support the team around you. It's doomed if you have to put a team around an ego. You can cover this for some time, but you have to have an established team with clear roles within. Hertha doesn't have such a team for some years now, which brings me to my second point. After so many years of average season outcomes, the last two seasons since the arriving of our investor feel like a catastrophic event to all of us. We all remember playing against a possible downfall into the second division, but we all, or maybe most of us fans, forget that responsibilities in our club changed in a dramatic way. For the first time in years, or as long as I can remember, we now have a management leading the club where I can feel professionalism equal to other clubs we are looking up to. We never had it, because Michael Preetz was the only responsible person. Now there are Klaus Schmidt, Arne Friedrich, Bobic and his proven team, along with Paul Zecke and their skilled coaching staff. For the first time, maybe ever, I could imagine Hertha rising up to a higher level. But that takes its time. Bobic and the guys had their first off-season and went to their first trading window. And I think he did a good job. Maybe not great, but quite good. They are in charge for, I don't know, 2 months? We have to give them time. Bobic always said we would get rid of players because of team chemistry, because of contract and salary costs, because of the size of the squad. And he never lied to us about the situation on the market while we are in a pandemic. I don't know how appealing Hertha is to players around the market, but I think we are not the first choice. So thinking every reported trade would happen is nonsense. We heard so many names in the last 48 hours, but which one of them was in pipeline to be brought here for real? So I think to call for Bobic's head is absolute bullshit. As I said, this was very understandable to give up Dodi, Cunha, Córdoba, and on the other hand, sign 7 new players in Boateng, Jovetic, Belfodil, Christensen, Richter, Eggelenkamp, and Maolida. Sure, there was no fancy-hansy last-minute trade, but do we need to get one? We had those kind of moves under Preetz and paid big money. But where are we now? It doesn't matter if it gets relegated to the second division with Cunha and Dodi, or Belfodil and Maolida. But with the new players, we have new chips in the lottery, and at very least, Bobic created fresh money out of his moves. And maybe, yes, maybe, we can get a new, better functioning pecking order within the squad. Maybe there's a new base now, and there will be more success in the future. After 2 or 3 additional trading periods, we all don't know yet, but we have a chance now. I think all fans should realize that you cannot change a professional sports team in a heartbeat. It takes time. We should give Bobic more than 2 months. Keep calm, everyone, and cross your fingers. Don't be so negative from the start. It doesn't help whether it's soccer or in your real life. The team needs us now more than ever. We have to support them no matter what. My Twitter name is @MarcolinhoBSC. Thanks for having me on, and ha ho he.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou, and keep listening to the Dalmatian Football Podcast.
I thought you were still full time. Fuck me.